From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of November 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Russ Higgins from U of I Extension and the northern part of the state will be here to talk a little bit about harvests there and the slowdowns that they've had, the really good yields too. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm in Chicago, and Matt Bennett will be here to talk about basis and cash grain down on the farm on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Thursday afternoon here at the Closing Market Report, we're joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting. He's in Waco, Texas. Gorgeous day here. How about in your part of the world, Dan?
Beautiful. We're in our mid-70s, and it's just ideal.
Not ideal is the CME group at the moment for both corn and soybeans. Tell me where we stand in your opinion.
Well, I would say, when you have a big crop like we've had, corn futures do have a tendency to weaken into the December delivery period. So here we are, the last day of November. Tomorrow's December 1st. So I think if corn has a shot at a rally, and I think it indicated that here today, that we should see something begin to take hold here. Maybe we'll have some follow through here tomorrow, and then maybe next week we can maybe get something going on the upside. But I think there's a shot here now for corn to maybe try to rally probably back to the top end of the trading range. But this March corn is basically the functional lead contract at this point. If a farmer goes sells his corn, it's going to be based off of the March contract, not off of the December contract. And I think, you know, March corn is in the 253 area. Top end of the trading range is going to be 360. That's going to be pretty stiff resistance, at least from a technical perspective. If we could pop above that, then maybe we could get some short covering going, and we could maybe squeeze, you know, a little more out of the corn market. You know, the funds are terribly short this market. They got to, you know, my guess is they would take some of those shorts off going into the end of the year. But any kind of major rally in corn is probably going to be met with some farmer selling. Everybody's going to be needing some form of cash here over the next 30 to 60, 90 days. I have heard farmers are starting to use basis contracts now. That moves grain into the system that allows them to, you know, maybe get 60 to 80% of the value of their corn. So that gives kind of satisfies the cash flow. That gives them an opportunity to take advantage if prices go higher. But to go higher, we're going to have probably some kind of weather issue in South America come along. And that's basically what we're waiting for when we're in a sideways market, is we're just waiting for something to happen and give the market the spark to bust out of that sideways trading range to the upside. So that's probably what the market will be looking for sometime after the first of the year, would be some kind of weather issue. As we go further down the road, my guess is that we're going to see a decline in corn acres. Beans, I think, are going to try to buy acres, and they're, for the most part, they're doing that now. So maybe corn might get some kind of boost from reduce corn acres. The problem is with that scenario is when USDA came out with their November crop report, they basically added 4 million acres of corn into the balance sheet. So now we're back at that 2.5 billion bushel area. And it's just going to be real hard to get the corn market to do much until we find a weather issue. On the positive side, the dollar does look like it has stopped its recent recovery. It was been basically in a decline most of the year. The last couple of months, we've been trying to recover. Now it looks like that recovery to the upside has given way. And now the dollar is now back in a downtrend. So that may, you know, be beneficial to us at some point in time as we go down the road. You look at soybeans, from what I can figure out, there's really no real threat on the weather front in South America at this time. We got a big bean crop here, and looking at the technicals, it looks to me like beans are vulnerable to losing ground here as we go through the month of December. So I'm a little worried that beans could weaken here and really not show much upside over the next, as we go through the holidays. The wheat futures, you know, we had a nice up day yesterday, but today we kind of erased that. That just kind of tells you that we probably had some spread unwinding, maybe the long wheat, short corn spread. Was a key to today's move that had corn higher and wheat lower, some unwinding of that spread. So when you get into the month of December, you're going to see a lot of different types of choppy price action because a lot of it is squaring up positions before the end of the year or, for the most part, prior to the holidays. By the time December 22nd comes around, trading's pretty well finished. Everybody pretty well gets their books squared up and then goes home for Christmas and then comes back after the first of the year.
So do you have any concerns about the large size of the crop and farmers holding it at this point?
Well, I mean, there's good domestic demand. I mean, the ethanol guys are scrambling to get inventories because farmers don't want to sell at this price level. So some of these ethanol plants do have some attractive basis levels. But yes, I mean, anytime, I mean, the grain is produced to be sold and not necessarily to be stored. And all you do with storing is you keep the downward pressures off the market for a certain amount of time, but eventually that's going to come into place, and that could, you know, and that's going to weigh on the market. I mean, we just got too much supply, period. And we can get into all kinds of reasons why we got too much supply, but we got too much supply, and the function of the market when you have a large supply is to find new demand base or discourage people from producing more. So that means depressed prices for a period of time. And like I said, right now, I don't see anybody really making a lot of money on corn and wheat. I think the people that had the big lofty yields, and I do know several people that did have lofty yields on corn, I think they're able to make a little bit of money. But if you were down at the bottom end of the yield range, you're not penciling too good. The soybeans are still probably the more attractive financially. With current day prices, we had a nice export sale today to China, but our overall weekly sales on corn, soybeans, and wheat were all disappointing for the most part. Like I said, the function of the market with too much supply is to seek out a price level to increase demand or discourage production. And that's what the market is going to try to do, I think, over the next 3 months. The only thing that will stop that will be some kind of weather issue in South America and or something here in North America as we get into the growing season. But, yeah, I'm real worried. And if corn can't hold into this 340, 360 trading range, it'll quickly go down to 320, and we'll try to trade out. We'll trace out a new trading range between 320 and 340. But that's the thing that I would be worried about after the first of the year, if we don't have some fundamental changes going on, that the corn market could slip down into a lower trading range of 320, 340. And then I think that would take soybeans also down with it. I wish I had some better news going to the holidays, but it's amazing the size of crop that we did raise this year, given the weather issues that we had earlier. But I guess that cool August really added bushels. I know there's a lot of people that's got some nice yields, and I guess they still have to kind of look at acre gross rather than maybe bushels and see if they can kind of make things work out. But seasonally, corn is kind of ripe here for a period of strength. We have a decent shot. You know, in a normal crop year, we kind of put bottoms in during October. But in big crop years, you have tendency to put them in here in late November, early December. So I guess I want to be a little optimistic for a corn rally. Beans, can't get too excited about a bean, at least looking at the chart pattern that I'm looking at right now.
Hey, thanks so much. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released a preview this week of its long-term planting projections. The USDA considers a lot of factors when making the projections, including macroeconomic conditions, GDP growth, and farm policy. An important projection from the early release is the overall number of planted acres. Total planted acres for the 8 principal crops and land in the Conservation Reserve Program is expected to be 275.8 million acres in 2018. Another big takeaway from the report predicts soybeans will overtake corn in planted acreage starting in 2019. Well, if you haven't heard this one, as it's related to NAFTA just yet, President Trump took a trip to visit with Republicans on Capitol Hill with a focus on finding more votes for the tax cut bill. However, Senate Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts took the opportunity to bring up agricultural concerns over the NAFTA negotiations. As the president walked out of the meeting, Politico says he asked Roberts, "How are your farmers?" Roberts told Trump they're worried about NAFTA and he'd like to talk to the president. Trump responded with, "I'll get back to you." Roberts told Politico he wants to work with the president to achieve his goals on NAFTA, but that we'd like to point out that starting a clock on NAFTA is not the answer. He's talking about an idea Trump had about notifying Canada and Mexico that the United States would be pulling out of the deal in 6 months. And finally today, a leading ag and tax writing Republican disputes a media claim that farm support programs will suffer in the next farm bill if Congress passes a deficit-busting tax bill. The GOP tax plan could add another $1.4 to $1.5 trillion to the federal deficit over 10 years, a key stumbling block to passing the bill, but would mean less money for 2018 farm bill programs. Tax bill supporter and longtime Ag and Finance Committee Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa says no.
You're comparing apples with oranges. A tax bill is going to be considered as a tax bill. nothing to do with spending in any other program.
And as far as farm bill spending?
You got to recognize that what we've done through the budget resolution, that the farm bill is a tight budget already.
Well, possibly one of the tightest in years, according to the senator's earlier comments. But on the flip side,
I think you have to realize that the tax reform will benefit farmers and agriculture in several ways,
including doubling the estate tax exclusion, boosting the exemption for small business expenses, and creating a new exclusion for some small business income. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. Earlier in the day, I was at the annual extension conference at the iHotel. Russ Higgins from the northern part of the state is here. He covers agriculture there, based out of the DeKalb area or somewhere in there. I don't recall quite where.
I'm currently in the Grundy County area, just a little farther south.
Well, tell me about harvest up in that part of the world. I know that last week, when we had the Farm Assets Conference on Tuesday, the Illinois Corn Growers had their annual meeting just prior to that at 8 in the morning. And they tell me about 25% of the farmers walked out the door and got on the combines from that meeting. They left at 10, so they didn't stick around for the conference we had. But it sounds like they're just slow up there at this point, and it's been rain-filled, I guess.
It has been an extended harvest, and there have been several things that have compounded that. Now, one of the problems is actually not that great a problem. There has been tremendous yields. There have been some challenges finding something to do, especially with the corn crop. I think every bin, every building that can possibly be filled with grain probably is at this point. So some of that grain was starting to move to some of the elevators. There was a little bit of a slowdown trying to get some of that grain dried, as well as getting some semis. But now we have had a week of really good weather. We've made a really great push in finishing this harvest up. I think as we approach December, I think the number of fields left standing, both corn and the few soybean fields, will be much smaller by the time we head home this afternoon.
So whole fields probably gone maybe by the time you head home, or do you think there'll be whole fields still around?
I think most of them are going to be gone. Even as we ventured toward the University of Illinois campus on Tuesday, a lot of the locations that we saw that were still standing were parts of field. There might have been some wet spots. We did have some good rain events, but now we've had some rain-free days, and I think the farmers are just ready to put an end on this season. They seem to be going in. They're going to get them out and call it a year.
They're probably happier than expected, especially because of the bigger yields. However, it was a long, drawn-out harvest season. They still have really low corn prices and not such great soybean prices that they're trying to deal with. And as Gary Schnitke pointed out in a Farm Doc Daily article earlier this year or this week, incomes for Illinois are still off.
I think if you talk to farmers, I think the unanimous concern is, you know, we all like great yields, but we also like a gross income. And I agree, Todd. I think they willingly have less yield for higher prices and push that gross up just a little bit. It's quite a challenge to actually outproduce low prices. And unfortunately, that seems to be the scenario we're in right now.
Across the state, there's a lot of chatter about planting soybeans after soybeans. You're in a corn-heavy area, so a lot of corn after corn. Is there much discussion in your part of the world about switching their crop rotations?
I haven't had the chance to talk to a great number of seedsmen yet this year, simply because they haven't had the chance to talk to farmers because they were still on combines. If past history holds true, I think that the corn acres will probably hold out one more year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Russ Higgins, of course, is University of Illinois Extension. He covers agriculture in the northern part of the state. Well, joining us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
So I was taking a look at the charts as I was talking to Dan Zwicker, and he didn't mention this, but I think this is correct, that the January soybeans finished out the month of November higher, and that will be the third monthly close higher, although it was just barely, but it did close higher for this month, if I'm correct. Do you see that too?
Yeah, marginally, I believe that that's the case. Interesting for sure to come into the end of the month with a little bit of the weakness here, but it's nice to actually see a monthly higher close. It's an interesting day in the markets by all means. I mean, you look at especially soybean front months off 5 or 6 cents and, a nice little rally in the corn market for the second day in a row. So it's a little bit of a departure from what we've been seeing here, in the last several weeks.
And this in the face of the end of the month for December expiration. So that seems like another good piece of news.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it sure seems like with expiration and deliveries and whatnot, we've got a little bit of support here for the corn market. So, are we going to be able to continue on a grand scale? Probably not. You know, I think it's going to be very interesting since we're talking basis. I haven't really seen any basis fluctuation yet, but I do think that if you could put together a little bit better rally than this, I don't think there's a whole lot of question that we'd probably have to pull back on basis. A shade would be probably what my assumption would be anyway.
So there will be farmers that are looking to make some sales prior to the end of the year. What kind of opportunities do you think they can expect, and when should they pull the trigger?
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough thing. You know, are we talking bushels in the bin or at the elevator? And at the elevator, I think those are the bushels most likely producers would be liquidating first so they can quit paying storage on those. We've had a lot of guys here in the last two or three days, this week in particular, more interest than we've had in quite some time with, producers wanting to go ahead and cover bushels maybe that they'd sold across the scale this last fall, or going ahead and being done paying storage and re-owning it on paper. You know, it's just so cheap. I mean, here earlier in the week, we were buying at-the-money call spreads, for 11 or 12 cents base of July. That's a pretty cheap ownership plan. Granted, we don't know if that's going to pay, but it sure as heck beats paying 30 cents of storage to get out there.
So you're going ahead, make the sales, and replacing with an option to give you the upside potential. And it's just 11 cents risk per bushel, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were doing earlier in the week. You're probably going to pay a couple more now. I mean, that's commercial storage. You know, the bushels in the bin at home, we've been saying all along we need to be booking this carry in the market. You know, you've got July corn in this range where you're looking at 372-ish, and basically 30 cents higher than the December contract. So when that kind of carry in the market, by all means, we tell producers, let's sell the carry. If basis rallies, which essentially there's a good chance sometime in the next 4 or 5 months, we could see decent basis appreciation. Even with a big crop, typically we see some appreciation. You're actually going to put that money in your pocket as well. So we think that it's the best thing to do is sell the carry.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report for a Thursday afternoon. Be sure to pick up your tickets to the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Those are the week of Monday, December the 18th across the state. The Ag Economist and I will be out at 5 different sites. You can buy your tickets online on the Farm Doc Daily website. Look for Illinois Farm Economics Summit. Could be under IFES, I-F-E-S. Now we're joined by Mike Tenorum. He's with T-Storm out of Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. I'll be out with some of your old colleagues from here on campus. Scott Irwin will be along with us. I know you did a lot of work with him when you were studying.
Certainly did, and we still work on YieldCast together, which is one of the T-Storm products. So, say hi to Scott for me when you see him.
I will indeed. So let's talk a little bit about yields. Well, actually casting, and this time weather forecasting, not yield casting. And Argentina, because they've been dry. We've talked about that a lot on the air, though we're on that cusp of will they or won't they have an impact? Where do you stand?
It's a little bit early to be concerned. And the primary reason for that is that soybeans as of today are only around 40% planted in Argentina. So that is similar to May 10th or May 15th in the U.S., and it's hard to develop a real strong weather story that early in the year. For corn, it's a little bit different because they plant in two phases. The first phase of corn was planted about 6 weeks ago, and the next phase will start to be planted here in mid-December. Now, we would like to see some rain for that corn. It's been pretty dry out there, though it has been unseasonably cool at the same time. So dry and cool is not as bad as the combination of dry and hot. Going forward, we'll see some thunderstorms over the next couple of days, primarily Saturday and Sunday in some of these dry areas. After that, there's not a whole lot of rainfall on the way for next week. So you could start to watch corn in Argentina and start worrying about it a little bit, but we just caution that it's early. If we start to see some nice rains in the middle of December or later, that would essentially wipe out the problem that's developing. So it's just something to watch. We don't see the highly unfavorable combination of heat and dryness. We're only a little bit dry at the moment, but this will be what we watch going forward.
And I take it further north, they've been getting rainfall.
They have been in most of Brazil, and it looks to stay like that in most of Brazil as well. The central and northern areas, including the key states of Goiás and Mato Grosso, they will see a lot of rain here over the next 2 weeks. 4 to 8 inches appears to be on the way, which is a lot, but keep in mind, they average around 4 inches of rain for the next 2 weeks. So we're looking at about twice their normal rainfall, and that will put them in a pretty good situation by the middle of December. If you go into the southern parts of Brazil, which are adjacent Argentina, they're going to start drying out a little bit more with time as well. So some of these Argentina issues may be expanding into Brazil, but again, it's early and it's not hot. It's just hard to get too excited about this until we're a little bit later into December and more into January, to be quite honest.
And then here in the United States, I take it, we'll be getting cold?
A lot colder starting Monday and Tuesday. After that, it looks like it's going to stay cold as well. So it'll be a different story across the central U.S. in a week from now. It'll be much colder than normal, high temperatures mainly in the 20s, lows in the teens, and we'll start to see areas of snow here and there. We're not looking for a major snowstorm, but there will be bouts of snow that accompany this cold air mass. That, again, starts in about 6-7 days from now.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike. We appreciate it. Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois.